This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Yeah, Frank here, he's got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's the...
billiard room.
Come on already. We call it the...
The Place to Be.
Yes, the Place to Be. The Place to Be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Ugh. Time to play the game!
No, you left me satisfied and smiling. So.
That's what she said!
So why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to Be Nation, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
Japanese band Oral Vampire produced a song called The Repo Man and used footage.
Oral Vampire, huh?
Or Oral. A-U-R-A-L. What kind of show is this?
Sounds like some Twilight porn in Michael Vincent's collection there.
Oz went on to star in American Pie, of course, as the lacrosse player. Bismarck. No, wasn't it? Bismarck, wasn't that
his name? Bismarck.
Bismarck. No, who's the other guy I'm getting confused with?
Bismarck, yeah. He dressed as North Dakota.
There's only one place where the big boys play, and that is in my extra queen-size bed. Well, it just happens. What can you do?
Let's talk the fix.
I think they might hit a shock wall.
Is that the Shockmaster's wall?
Yeah, I like Big Dick myself. I was just curious. PTB Nation, let me know what
you're
doing.
Our opener.
To do worse than Josh Richard.
I'm not like them, but I can pretend the sun is gone, and I have a light. The day is done, and I'm having fun. I think I'm dumb, maybe just happy. Think I'm just happy. Think I'm just happy.
Place to Be Nation! Welcome back to the great episode of the one and only Place to Be podcast. I'm your co-host, Just Rosero, coming at you live here on this Thursday evening. It's party time! So you know we're all fired up because it is Nitro Live Watch or Nitro Party Night. So we are very excited. Let me bring in my PIC, Mr. Scott Criscola. How are you doing, buddy?
Good evening, JR. Good evening, Place to Be.
I haven't talked to you at a dog's age.
I know. I know. I feel like it's about as long as episode 2. That we did way back in the day. Welcome, Place to Be Nation, episode 362 of The Mothership. This is the first week of our new schedule, and you did K2 earlier in the week. I did main event, so it does feel like an eternity. But
I could use some of Brian Blair's honey tonight because my my throat's hurting. So
That's all right. We got a lot of talkers tonight, so I don't think you'll have to worry
right,
about
we
much.
Do. So let's start at the top here. We'll go order of longevity, as we always do. Seniority, that means Jordan Duncan can head on in here first. JD, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Oh, I'm doing swell.
Excellent. Starting at the top. Sorry. I like that.
Yep. I can only go down from here. So let's go ahead and bring in Mr. Stephen Willie. How are you, Mr. Willie?
Plummeting to the bottom.
Yes. And now we can only go back up.
Doing all right.
Okay.
As usual.
Let's bring in next Mr. Glenn Butler. Glenny Bunn, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm just here digging this hole.
Do the snow? The 15 feet of snow on the ground?
Exactly. I'll dig my hole and I'll lay in it, damn it.
There you go. Dress warm. And my brother in allergies tonight, that is Mr. Will H. from PWO. How you doing, brother?
I don't know, man. I feel like the towel boy for the varsity basketball team. Like, maybe I should be your water bitch or something.
No, please. You're our ringer. It's like Mighty Ducks where they bring in Adam Banks from the other team late in the season. They bring him in to save the season. That's what we did with you here, right, in these Nitro watches. So
We redistricted.
Yes. We looped in Texas to the district, so we're good to go. So our crew here today is the same that was here pretty much almost last time. JD, I don't think you were with us, right? We had Jason.
No,
Graham
I was not.
Last time. So it was a nice treat. So we're back to this tonight. And we are now one night since Halloween Havoc here. So we're starting with the 10:30:95, and we'll be doing the 11:06:95 Nitros. Glenn Butler was our man who suffered watching Halloween Havoc 95 for us. So as we move through here, he can rant and rave about his hatred for making him watch that. And we'll go along. We'll do some plugs. We'll do some chatting. We'll have some laughs. We'll cry. Hopefully we'll see the Ete, and it'll be a good time. So does everyone have their October 30th, 95 episode queued up?
Ready to go.
We do indeed. Mm-hmm.
Know it.
All right, we're all right around zero with the faded buildings about to come up, so I'll count us in. We'll get going. In three, two. And a familiar opening.
And we're closed captioned. The old school.
That's right.
Captioning logo.
Yep. So.
Willie, you get the audio? You gonna be our audio guy?
Yeah.
Okay. Fire tearing through this city.
Again and again.
For all of eternity.
There's got to be some sort of post-apocalyptic wasteland by the time Nitro's over.
That's pretty much what the company was by 2001.
Describe backstage. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty had about 5 years. That's what backstage would be.
So hey, I know we're making light of it right now, but I'll tell you what, man. Back then, when that opening came up, man, your adrenaline got pumped up.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know? I mean, I was so excited for Nitro. I mean, every week, man. Even if it sucked the week before. Man, that fire would go through that city, and you're just like, wow, okay, it's wrestling night. It's on. So
tonight we're in Dayton, Ohio, the Hara Arena, which was where a show I watched today was at, Sold Out 98, which, of course, way down the line of our timeline. But
Mongo here with Pepe dressed for Halloween. This is actually like the least amount of costume he's had on. He's been dressed up more for the non-Halloween episodes.
That
than
is
for this
awesome,
one.
Man. Stupid-ass dog.
It looks like Bobby's just staring daggers at the dog there.
Bobby looks so uncomfortable. That tie looks like extra tight or something on him. Like, oh, the collar or something. He's really getting choked out.
What's on
Does
his
Heenan
tie?
Still have, like... I was just going to ask, that is a pretty distinctive tie. Do you think Heenan still has some sort of PTSD from Matilda, too?
Yeah, he may. He may have really
he just doesn't like dogs now.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, he should have wore the outfit that he wore at WrestleMania 4.
Look at that awful hat.
Nice zoom in.
He's got wings.
One eye covered. Oh, there we go.
There we go.
Oh, that is awesome. I didn't notice the wings before. Okay, thumbs up for the wings.
So far, so. Will's got this a 10 out of 10 for the show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't have to watch this. Y'all just come back to me in about 45 minutes after my rating.
I just picture Mongo walking through like PetSmart looking for, I need wings, baby, for my dog. Got to make sure he's dressed like a witch.
Probably had him custom made.
Right? Go on Etsy.
A huge breaking news story here. Instead of Randy Savage facing Craig Pittman, we're going to have Eddie Guerrero.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why?
So Eddie getting this big shot at.
Why can't we replace Pittman and have Savage versus Guerrero?
That was,
right?
Because he's right here.
There he is.
Wow, he got pyro for his entrance.
Everybody got pyro for their entrance the first 9 months of Nitro.
Not a good decision when you're wearing a belt of bullets to the ring, brother.
Right?
Yeah, seriously.
He's really taking his time getting to the ring, too.
Of course, as we mentioned, we are one night after Halloween Havoc, taking place in Detroit. Mr. Duncan, you were there. You poor bastard.
Yep.
Do you remember, Jordan, what do you remember live about Pittman and VK Wall Street on the main event pre-show match? Anything? Can you break it down for us, live experience?
You might be making this up for all I know. No clue.
Will, you a Pittman guy?
Am I a Pittman guy?
I don't think anyone's the Pittman guy.
Yeah, I was about to say, man. Maybe if Sergeant Slaughter was standing right next to him and he was... Who was the guy who used to hang out with Slaughter? Did the great cage match and Crockett?
Kernodle?
Yeah, Don Kernodle. If he could be Slaughter's Don Kernodle.
Don Kernodle.
Kernodle.
Yeah, Don Kernodle could go, though, back in the day, Mark man. Jr. And then, no, it was someone else in WWF. It was Staff Sergeant Terry Wells, maybe?
Right, and then it was Corporal Kirshner, of course, took over for the Sarge.
Yes. Yeah.
He was the lame knockoff.
I think Corporal Kirshner and Sergeant Craig Pittman would make an incredibly bad tag team.
Yeah.
Didn't Kirshner end up being like Leatherface over in Japan too?
Yep. Yes. Yep. Then there was the big thing a couple years ago where he was a truck driver here in Connecticut and he got killed in like a 12-car pileup and he had to go on like websites and say, I'm not dead.
Yeah.
It was crazy. No, I'm just a leather-faced wrestler in Japan.
I'm just doing death matches, guys. I'm not dead.
I just wish I was dead.
Yes. I want like that flag match again.
The sparking chainsaw in that gimmick, too?
Yep. He did.
Yep.
Pittman.
Ooh, wow.
Highly accredited amateur guy here.
I do. I have vague recollections of him on, you know, like Saturday night or some of the syndicated shows of doing more amateur-style stuff, longer matches that were...
Yeah, I don't think
better than what you'd
bad.
See him on in 3 minute specials on Nitro.
Yeah, I know we're busted on him, but I don't. I mean, I think he was serviceable. I think he was good for the role he was in. I don't think he was ever intended for anything more.
Looked like Eddie was trying to turn that into an arm drag there, and Pittman just dropped him.
and the guy I was thinking of was Terry Daniels, Staff Sergeant.
That's right,
Terry Daniels. Yeah,
look at those guys standing. Look at the four horsemen of Ohio standing back there behind the camera shot again. These four dudes just look at those, look at the guys just standing back there.
I think you got mixed up with George Wells, Will, maybe.
I think you're right, man. I was looking at Pittman looking like George Wells and saw the camo thinking of Terry Daniels. So, yeah, Terry Wells or Terry. Yeah.
George Wells, Don Kernodle reference 10 minutes in. We're really aiming at that young market tonight.
We're hot.
The new generation of fans.
Well, Scott, I think those four guys probably heard that there was going to be a Pittman match and then came down from the higher seats to try to see a better vantage point here.
Did Kernoodle do anything else besides team with Sarge?
Kernoodle.
Kernoodle. His TX starter was Bismarck Jr. Let's see. Let's take a look at... Right, he was mostly a Mid-Atlantic guy, right? Right, Will? Mid-Atlantic, maybe Florida?
Who's that?
Kernoodle. Don Kernoodle.
Yeah, Mid-Atlantic, definitely. Yeah,
he might have been
the guy. He had a run as a tag team champion there with Ivan Koloff too. So, I mean, had a hot feud with Steamboat right before Steamboat jumped to the WWF. So, I mean, hey, I was noticing your four horsemen back there. You notice like the short guy is the hairiest one trying to compensate for his height.
Oh God. According,
look at
see.
Him, man. Fortin,
it's funny because our shortest guy snatch. is completely hairless, and that's Jordan Duncan.
Yeah,
it's by design. Well,
ever since Charlie Villanueva joined the Pistons, I was inspired. Yes.
Let's see. Graduated from Elon College, started wrestling for Crockett in '73. Got to start by accepting a shoot wrestling challenge from another guy that our younger generation would know, Bob Roop. Roop defeated Kernodle by submission. His skills impressed Ole and Gene Anderson and would train Kernodle for free. He was part of Sergeant Slaughter's Cobra Corps.
There you go.
And teamed with Slaughter and Private Jim Nelson.
Private Jim.
Yeah, and I think Jim Nelson became Terry Daniels.
In 1982, Kernodle and Nelson won the NWA Mid-Atlantic tag straps from Pork Chop Cash.
Nice.
And Jay Youngblood. They later lost the titles to Cash and Iceman King Parsons. A couple of other tags and stuff like that. He remained a villain, tagged with Bob Orton Jr.
Of the number nine combo, the Kernoodles.
The Kernoodles. He was in the 1978 Sylvester Stallone movie Paradise Alley. And for some reason, Don Kernoodle and his brother Rocky won the $10,000 grand prize on an early 1990s episode of America's Funniest Home Videos.
That's awesome.
Their video was of them getting their miniature dachshund to growl and snarl.
Oh, my Lord.
Was he in a witch costume?
Yeah. then they called him Pepe.
Hey, Scott, you're my age. I mean, you remember Rocky Kernoodle as like a kind of junior/jobber back in the Crockett days, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. He used to be on those Saturday night shows. You know, taking beatings from like the Midnight Express and guys like that. Oh, definitely. Him and Rocky King would team with like the Italian Stallion and all those other guys.
Yeah. Definitely. Then you'd have those like kick-ass like 8-minute jobber matches versus like the 30-second ones.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not digging Pittman as a wrestler here, man. I really don't like style.
He started well with those couple
of
tosses.
Started off first minute or two was okay, and now it's just
that he's had to sell a little, it's not great.
It feels it's almost like they're in the power plant, like running drills of what a match could be like with the two of them. Like, it just everything feels like a step off.
Yeah.
Well, it's clearly Pittman. I don't think that he knows what the hell to do with them.
Yeah, definitely. That was a nice, decent belly to belly.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, he had that small. It was like a schoolboy roll up that he just kind of let go of, and then he's just like had a lady.
Oh yeah, totally.
Wow, that group of guys in the back is look. It's getting. Is that a woman? Is that like their valet? It's like throwing in a rogues gallery back there of strange Ohioans.
It's a great spot, though. However, they were able to sneak over there.
That's true. Yeah, right on the camera side. Oh, poor Eddie.
It's a really small venue they're running here too.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Hair Arena is not that big.
It's not the Nutter Center.
No, it's not the Nutter Center.
Eddie gets to win with a victory roll of sorts.
But yeah, this
sorts,
place.
Yeah.
Of sorts. Yep. As I mentioned, about 3 years later, this building would house Sold Out 98, which I think was sold out. I think it was probably like at least 10 seats.
Can I mention something real quick?
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Sure.
Eddie went to go hug a guy in the front row, and the guy standing behind him was so wide, I thought he was going to hug the wide guy. He was hugging somebody in front of him. Did y'all notice that?
No.
Yes.
Okay.
And there was a great mullet with a guy with no bangs on as well in that segment right after that, too.
Well, while you're mentioning mullets, Willie, let's go through our categories just real quick to remember at the end of the night. We need to track match of the night, most WCW moments, most random appearance, and most mid-90s person. So keep those in mind.
Yep. I'm not gonna
also, one thing I noticed on the replay of the pinfall was when Pittman comes up from it, he looks confused and angry. So he's at least selling having lost the match pretty well.
What happened there? That was a hell of a graphic. That was a hell of a graphic between Shark and Norton, where it looked like they were like really positioning them to make out in the graphic.
Is that going to be a match?
Shark, it looks like it.
Shark and Norton? Okay, I'm kind of looking forward to this.
Maybe well, here's what happened a couple weeks ago.
Japan throwback.
This happened a few weeks ago when Shark fell on Norton's feet and he couldn't kick up.
Oh yeah!
It's 6 weeks ago. Another they're returning back to it. They haven't done anything with it for 6 weeks.
Oh, was it really that long ago this happened?
Yeah, so
that's like 9 months for us, right? Is that?
Yeah,
is that July when we watched that one?
Yeah. 2008, I think.
Incidentally, this place, the Hair Arena, seats 5,500.
There you go.
So it's not a big place. 1,500 additional festival seats. And a sports note here: this was the building that housed Wayne Gretzky's first professional hockey game. On September 27th, 1978, he played for the Indianapolis Racers against the Cincinnati Stingers. So it isn't a big
That's like a party at your house, Will, 5,500 people. That's not bad.
Yes.
So two quick points from the audio. From the first match, they kept talking about how they're going to show footage later on from Halloween Havoc. But what was very odd about it is that they don't have the footage right now. They're waiting for the footage to get there. So, like, is it being driven over from Detroit into, like, the VHS tape?
Gonna... It's being ran over.
Yep.
And then
probably
with this match, Bobby...
Probably the more expensive beta tape.
There you go.
Yes. Right. Heenan has left the booth, so it's just Mongo and...
Oh, boy.
And Eric Bischoff right now, so I expect
Pepe,
Hazard
Pepe has a headset on, I think.
Hey, quick story on Tinta's tattoo there. You know, he was an LSU Tiger.
Yeah.
So that tattoo was a Tiger tattoo. I heard this on the Kevin Sullivan podcast, by the way, and that when they told him he's going to be the Shark, he actually got his LSU Tiger tattoo covered up with sharks, and then they dropped his gimmick like a month later.
Poor bastard. Well, I mean, at least the shark's kind of cool. It's not like it was a camel or something.
I don't know of any alma maters that are like the sharks, are there?
Jose Sharks fan.
It's got their colors on, almost.
Go right at it with Norton here. It takes him down with a
nice first 20 seconds of the match.
What I like about Shark's gimmick is he actually shaved teeth into his beard so he could put the makeup in. That's selling your gimmick when you've got teeth.
He was always dedicated to these gimmicks. He definitely always goes all out, as we'll see if we get to the run. I think it was in 96 where he gets shaved.
Yes.
Whoops.
Yes, thank you, sir.
He had a step one step closer. That would have been a lot cooler.
Oh, that is about six steps closer. That would have been pretty good.
Norton. Wow, big slam. Man, Hogan couldn't do that.
He slammed him.
Crowd got very excited for that.
It was a hell of a slam.
I think all the neon colors in the background are shooting up.
Yes. The brothers
in denim shirts, too.
Brothers in color with Norton. He's got neon on, too. We got some
money. I'll tell you what, though, man. I mean... Even though that little shoulder block was a little awkward, it's been all right, man. Yeah, Scott, you know, man, we like two big dudes beating the shit out of each other.
Oh, absolutely. Hosses are and we here at Place to Be Podcast are always big John Tenta fans, so we enjoy.
Hoss approved here on the PT.
Sure, yeah.
Always are John Tenta fans, so we enjoy.
And Norton looks great. I like just physique wise, he looks really good. Mm. Not as bloated as he was, you know, in previous years. And,
oh my God! When I again,
smart
I
and vicious and delicious.
Speaking of bloated.
Yeah. Sonny Ono was bloated. Oh.
Bobby had dinner with Sonny Ono here and some fine.
Ty looks a little looser now.
That's a denim shirt. Oh my God. That's an awful outfit right there, Bobby's rocking.
Yeah, dude, that's a pretty 90s shirt. Outfit there.
Yeah, that might be our most
that might be our most 90s
person so far.
Yeah.
Hey, tell the truth, man. Did any of y'all take like family portraits where everybody wore like denim and khakis?
Yeah,
like denim shirts or khaki pants.
Of course,
of course.
I didn't do that shit. I was too cool for that, man.
Well, I do have one that's where you look like a straight up like Hispanic slash Guido family. Thanks to the early '90s styles.
You're insulting my wife. What the hell, man?
I'm not insulting her. I'm saying I look like it.
He's really proud of the fact that he looked like.
Yes, your wife would fit perfectly.
I'm saying it's a really awkward family photo since. You know,
y'all all just
not
have, like,
of Hispanic
the,
descent.
Top button on, and the rest of it was like unbuttoned.
No, my brother's got the like straight up Rico Suave thing going on. My sister's got this weird ass short curly haircut
with the big,
oh,
the big
with the white
poof in the front.
Yes, yep. And I got like a buzz cut and my buck teeth and my tight ass sweater with a diamond on it.
That's so awesome, man! A diamond.
My sister's got like an MC Hammer jumpsuit on. It's awful. The whole thing's awful.
Had some Z Cavaricci's on, sporting the Cavaricci's.
It's still hanging at my parents' house. I'll snap a picture and post it on Twitter or something. It's still it's up in my parents' house.
That's a classic. That's a classic. That's a classic picture right there.
So did double count out.
Scott, did
yeah,
you
not a
the
fan
Georgetown?
Of the ending, but I do like this brawl, man. He did kind of just slam him right into that W, man.
Oh, yeah, that was a good fight.
What's that, Willie?
Did you notice the Georgetown jersey? In the crowd?
I did see the Georgetown. And then somebody was rocking a old school Bledsoe Pats jersey, too. Kind of weird.
So it's Ono and Bobby Heenan at a table with some, I don't know, is that sandwiches or sushi? Something going on. And then champagne and a bunch of women.
Well, this is pumping up the whole.
Right.
Because this leads towards Starrcade, right? The whole new Japan, like the Japan.
Yeah, I was playing
like,
along.
Invading,
you know?
Kind of thing.
I was playing along, you know?
What?
Like I didn't know.
What? Black Candles? That's fucking
what's
creepy.
Starrcade?
What's Starrcade?
Oh, I'm sorry. I think you mean Starrcade.
Yes. What's the Black Candles? That's creepy.
We got here in the ring. Shivani?
It's Halloween, and they're celebrating Halloween.
The fourth time that now they have said that the footage is on its way. Heenan also with a great little bit there where he pretends to eat the sushi and then slips it behind him and says, oh, yeah, it's great.
So we got any stills from last night. It was Arn and Pillman against Sting and Ric Flair. And if you know your wrestling history, you know what probably happened in that match. Glenn, why don't you tell us?
Sting is the biggest dope. He is just a grade-A schmuck. the actual match was, you know, nothing much. Sting's selling was pretty good, and I never mind Arn or Pillman, but, man, what a doof.
Oh, it's funny, because this is the one time, like, Sting knew it was coming, because remember he kept saying it, like, if you screw me, I'll beat the shit out of you, I know you're going to screw me, and then he did it anyway. And I think that added some charm to it, that it was completely 100% telegraphed.
Blair pulling off the bandage that wasn't real.
Crowd bought into it, at least. I mean, they were chanting for Flair big time throughout the match.
Duncan
so that's
heel
something.
Friends.
Shivani explained note for note the entire match to the crowd, who I'm sure was riveted.
And then he got an armbar on.
Brian Hillman. White the shirt there.
I was just saying, what the hell?
What is that?
I think
someone accidentally
Norton.
Got him a 3XL.
I know, right?
Looks like a short order cook.
Yeah, I think the sleeves look like they were cut into fringes, too.
Yeah, they were.
Yep.
Ugh. Poor excuse. Savage says no.
It's good to have heel Flair back.
Yes.
Always.
And yet the four horsemen still are free.
Yes, we don't have our fourth horseman yet.
Well, Tony is in the ring, so who knows?
Could be him.
Tony's suit jacket looks way too big, too.
I know.
I just noticed
too. I guess the same person who's doing all the costumes and a wardrobe tonight. So,
hey, nah, but Flair still looks like the man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Where does everyone stand on their Ric Flair hair rankings? Long, like, 80s Ric Flair hair, this hair, the 92, which was more of like a, it was like kind of like a bowl cut. Obviously, the stringy 2000s hair was the worst.
Oh, my God.
Yes, clearly.
I'll always go back to, like, 85 Flair, 86 Flair when it comes to
yeah.
hair. I didn't like short hair. I like 85, 86, 87. Old school.
Short hair Flair was my favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
You're just talking about his haircut, right? Not his actual, like...
Not that run.
So, no, not the run. Yeah, I'm talking about his hair. Straight up, okay. His hairstyle.
I was about Arn rocking the JR. Arn rocking the Justin Rosero.
He's looking
special
for a
glasses here.
That's what I like.
How do we rank Arn's hair?
What Arn Anderson's is going to take?
Yes. What's Arn Anderson's best run? Comb over. Comb over. Let's see. Comb over. Or nothing.
Or disheveled comb over.
Yes. Or nothing.
The disheveled comb over.
Hate filled comb over.
Hate filled comb over.
I'll tell you what, though,
what's
man.
What's he doing? What's he about to blow Arn?
He's reenacting the sting. Gutter.
Oh, Christ. Hey, you know, that's the thing about Arn Anderson, man. The guy was 25 years old, still looked 40. You know what I mean?
Always. The only time he looked different when he was like wicked fat and like 85, and then he lost all that chunk, and then he's looked the same ever since.
Mm. Well, now he's like 60, and he still kind of looks 40.
Right. He never changed. Yeah. He was at 40 the whole time, pretty much.
Yeah.
Pillman's definitely matching Flair's energy here.
Complete with the black cowboy boots, looking good.
Well, he's probably, Pillman was probably thrilled. I mean, he had not been doing too much the last year or so since the blonde split, so I'm sure he was pumped to be in something.
Ooh, who is that with the denim jacket in the background? Oh,
in the first row?
Yeah, what is that?
Looks like the
wife,
star of the
man,
movie,
leave
Angus.
Her alone. Come on.
Is that you next to her with the handlebar mustache?
That is the person who... From the trailer park? Yeah, that's me.
With your five Hulkamania t-shirts that you got for free when they were throwing them in the crowd?
Well, that person didn't get one.
No.
A lot of do-rags in the Hogan do-rags in the crowds. They must have cheaped on the merchandise.
I'm sure they were passing them out of the gate.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, but no shirts, though. That guy there looks like Chavo Classic right there with the glasses on, right behind Pillman's shoulder. At least this is the first Nitro we've done where we can actually see the crowd because of the size of the venue, so we can actually... Oh, look at that bad combo. Oof.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see.
Kind of excited.
Who is that in front of Disco?
Sabu.
Sabu.
That doesn't even look. I thought it was Hugh Morris, man.
Look at this tag team.
Look at this tag team.
Wow.
The Renegade and the Cobra will be in action.
Who do you think won that match?
How many points do you think they're getting? 25 yeah. point dogs?
Harlem Heat against the Blue Bloods. That's not a bad match. What is that hair? No, is that your
Ray's
sister's hair there, JR, that Sherry had? Wow.
I know, right?
Stevie Ray's horrible. He sucks. That is absolutely a bad match.
Well, that was that's the feud of 95. We missed a lot of it with these, but Blue Bloods, Harlem Heat, Nasty Boys just like dominated 95. Yeah. Like every pay-per-view they fought.
Yeah. No, definitely. Yeah, you're right. Every pay-per-view.
Was it Bash of the Beach where they had the first ever, it was like triangle match for tag teams?
Yep. And that was like the first of three times. I think they did it at Fall Brawl. I think they did it at, I don't think they did it at Halloween Havoc, but I know there was a tag title at Halloween Havoc, so.
Sabu, I don't think he goes. Does he make it to World War III? I feel like he's almost done after this.
No. I think this is it for him. He's at Havoc. Is he in the World War III match? Let me take a look. I think he's gone. I don't think he's on after this, or after. I don't think he's on another pay per view.
Right. I know it doesn't last too long, but
Sabu went back to ECW on November 18th, 1995.
Yes. So when was World War III was. November 26th, yeah, so he's gone before then. So this might be one of his last matches.
Let's see, 95.
Going out with a bang.
Yeah, he's not at, let me see. Is he in the, he's not in the, this is November 26th, all right.
Yeah, no, he wouldn't be in that.
Nah, he's gone.
This is the last
match. That was the first World War III, wasn't it, 95?
Yes.
Yep.
Let's see. I don't know if we'll see him later. We don't see him in our next hour. Let's put it that way. I think he's done after this.
Yeah, he must be.
Yeah. I mean, I could check how it shows.
Yeah, that's fine. It's not too good.
Meanwhile, Sabu is trying to dive at Disco's feet.
Very much.
Disco's kind of new, right? Disco hasn't been around too long.
Yeah, he's
right?
been on a couple times. We've seen.
No,
him.
I know he's not new to us, but I mean, in terms of the company,
right.
He hasn't been on that long.
I think he debuted over the summer.
I remember one of Disco's gimmicks was he had a submission hold that he said was unbreakable, but he would always forget how to apply it.
Right,
and he'd have like little cheat sheets and stuff like that. You know,
he's another guy that worked really hard on his gimmick and the little things to get noticed. And I think that led to his longevity, just kind of hanging around.
He actually got pretty popular too. Yeah. Almost like a Santino level type guy.
I mean, to the point in 97 where, like, people wanted him to jump, remember? Be the Honky Tonk Man's guy. Like,
yeah,
pretty highly anticipated.
I was at a show, gosh, what would it might have been World War III, 97, and he won, I think, the TV title, and it was a huge pop when he won that title.
Yeah.
I just watched that. Let me. You said World War III, 97?
Maybe it was 98, because I was at both.
No, he was already TV champion, and he beat Saturn.
That's right.
Okay. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Already.
No, he Saturn was champion, and Inferno was challenging, and he lost.
Well... Saturday another beat show like I was at.
Another made up Jordan Duncan moment in wrestling history.
Like your fake friend that you went to at Halloween Havoc.
Yeah.
My imaginary brother.
Imaginary brother.
Exactly.
Made up Hogan.
Brothers
made
no
up
more.
Warrior Andre match.
Brothers no more.
Made up Disco Inferno win.
Jordan Duncan's imaginary brother, Gordon Duncan.
Yes.
Yes. GD.
Gordon Octavius Duncan. That's what
he lost to Jacqueline at Halloween Havoc 97.
Well, if I Google Disco Inferno,
I think
Wikipedia
they had to follow Eddie
up.
Ray on that show too, right? Or did they precede Eddie Ray?
That match was right. Yeah. No, wait, hold on. No, the next match, there were two matches after that. The next match was poor Alex Wright and Mongo.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. Well, that was one of Goldberg's first feuds.
A slingshot, somersault, leg drop for Sabu. Picks up the win in his final WCW match.
Yep, pretty much.
See,
that's kind of
WCW
a nice finish. I kind of like that little slingshot leg drop.
Yeah, that was a pretty good showing for Sabu, actually.
Yeah, but so I know why he left.
Yeah, I was just going to ask. I don't know why he left either. Like,
I think he just didn't like the way he was being used.
Yeah. I mean, he
went right back
getting
to
old.
WCW.
Wow.
He was getting
just
over
just powerbomb him on the floor. What the hell's going
well,
on?
Well, yeah, that looked like he was in a Hurricane Rana that gone wrong, yeah. Wow, Glenn, look. Good. Oh, that's the fake Hogan guy. There you go. Or the
Yeah, there's a guy in full regalia.
Yeah, that's the guy. Is that the guy that always shows up to stuff? I think
no,
so.
Oh, yeah, that may be. I think it's the guy that looked like Glenn from a couple episodes ago.
No. No.
No, I in fact was not there. Although, you know, give me a little while and I might remember being there.
Sabu the table.
Yeah. I remember seeing Glenn win the title one time. At a show I was at.
He beat Andre. Did. Slammed him, too.
Mm-hmm. I, too, did a springboard somersault.
Oh, no, that was Gordon's springboard.
Is that a little short right hand from Sabu there?
Who's that guy? Is that Mabel right there? That's standing right there in the corner? Let's see if they turn the camera around again. There's another guy dressed like Hogan. Look at this guy right here in the corner. He looks just like Mabel or Viscera or whatever. I guess you'd say Mabel 95.
That Hulkamaniac right there is what I imagine Chad Campbell looked like in 1996. Right there.
I didn't care for his work rate.
He has one black glove on. You see that?
Yep.
That looked like it fucking hurt, by the way. That
it did. Maybe that's why he left.
Yeah. That was not exactly unbreakable.
Could have pre-cut it for him.
Look at that guy with the flare hair.
He's so frustrated he throws stairs
actually,
at the table.
Hey, that's more like Buddy Jack Roberts hair right there, man.
I know.
And that's not a guy. It's a lady. It's an old lady.
That's usually right in Scott's wheelhouse, too, the women like that at these wrestling events. That Sabu looked like he was really in pain. That looked like a fucking hurt. I mean, he landed hard on his back.
He must have grabbed the wrong table. Unless
have
he
y'all ever seen him in New Japan where his gimmick was doing moonsaults through tables until they would break?
Yes.
It was really bad. It really seemed like a horrible gimmick to have. Let me break tables after the match. You know, it just didn't make sense. I thought it was stupid.
The road to Nitro goes through Dayton. It's a hell of a sign to bring.
That's a hell of a Luger figure right there. Look at that.
It's amazingly lifelike.
I know, right?
Yes.
It's a hell of a
team.
Talk about
right amazingly here. Lifelike. It's Jimmy Hart.
It's Luger and Ming. I like those tights on Ming.
Yes. I like any
badass gold.
Guys, the footage is here in the building.
Yes.
As is Doug Dillinger in the back.
You know, Jimmy Hart is like 71 years old now.
Yep. Still looks the same.
Still looks the same. I met him up close at Access a couple of years ago. There's no way you would think that guy was 71 years old.
No, when I watched him on Legends House, he definitely didn't look that old. I mean, yeah, for sure. His forehead was getting quite large, and his hairline was getting further back. But I didn't think he was that old. But I didn't think he was that old, though.
Well, I mean, hell, you figured like Paul McCartney's 70 years old, and you know,
he's
Jimmy
had so
Hart
much work done though.
No, I know, but what I'm saying though is that Jimmy Hart was like releasing music in the 60s at the same time.
You
know?
Yeah, so, yeah, with the Gentry.
You know, yeah, it shouldn't shock me. You know that.
Oh, look at this—the Matt Rotella Team of the Year right here.
American Males time.
Matt attempted to wear that outfit to work one time.
Oh hell,
American
yes.
Males. American Males.
American Males. So no longer tag champs. That was short lived.
Matt Rotella loved this team so much he tried to wear that outfit to work one day, but he couldn't. But it wasn't the best. It was spotty hair.
I may or may not have worn that same earring that he's wearing.
And the vest that says American Males, too,
so
right?
Did you have the same slightly frosted tips?
No.
Or the American Males vest?
No, but I think I did have a Scotty Riggs nice 5 o'clock shadow work going on at that time.
I like how they're putting things in the pockets of their vest. Like, oh, I gotta remember to put this back on later.
That's commitment. Well, I mean, that makes me think they really wear that, you know?
You know they're going to hit the club, man.
Oh, yeah. To work or to,
suspenders.
Or to frequent.
So contender for most JR. WCW moment, the fact that the day after the pay-per-view, they're wheeling out Lex Luger, who evidently just turned, Jimmy Hart, who evidently just turned, and not even talking about it yet. They're just saying, yeah, wait to see the footage. It's going to be really surprising.
Look, they're all together.
So if you haven't seen Halloween Havoc, you're like, why is Ming, Lex Luger, and Jimmy Hart coming out together? Because they've said absolutely nothing to this point.
Because they know how to sell.
Yeah.
Put over storylines, guys.
They got us watching.
Epic Twings.
And next week's Nitro that we're going to be watching here in a little bit is totally interactive. So get out your phones. We're going to have a red locker room and a blue locker room, and we get to choose the matchups.
Nice. Hmm. They love that idea on Saturday.
There's
night.
That Pat's jersey.
The
everyone get out your WCW app and vote.
Yes.
I got my WCW flip phone right here.
Only $909.9900. That's all it costs.
It's purple and yellow.
How much did Mean Gene make from the sales of that phone?
$909.9900.
It all went to the liquidation of the company. Probably had to give it all back.
Luger's heel turn. I feel like that was Halloween Havoc had two of the most obvious turns ever, but they both worked because it just kind of made sense. Like Flair turning on Sting and then Luger turning on Hogan was like they both were telegraphed for weeks, but they almost seemed so obvious you didn't think they would happen, and then they happened. So pretty well done, I thought.
Hmm. Now, Luger was in a weird phase when he came in September, and he was kind of floating around aimlessly. And I mean, he got in Hogan's face, so it was pretty self-explanatory that it should have been that way. Trying to channel his inner like 89-90.
Yeah, and then he was jawing with Savage for like a month.
Yeah. Why does that guy have a Santa beard on?
Yeah, what is that?
What was that? Look
getting
Billy
ready
Gibbons.
Early.
Look at Billy Gibbons.
It's almost November, guys.
Halloween Havoc's over.
Christmas time. May he worked at like Sears or something, and they start rolling out the Christmas shit pretty early.
I think it might be a second or two ahead of you guys here.
That's a hell of a backdrop by Scott.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
That was the worst backdrop I've ever seen in my life.
He's got a rolled over his shoulder.
That's why I thought it was a second or two ahead of that.
The heart attack. Nice.
Wow. Look at that.
Jim and I was a few seconds behind because I just saw the heart attack. So
not very excellent execution.
Well, he was nailing him with the metal forearm in his.
That's right. Should have knocked him out cold. How's Riggs even moving?
I don't know. That's bad selling from Riggs. We've got to fire that guy.
He's an American male.
It's on Ming's posterior there.
It's like dragons or something.
I think it's like the claw for his spike, wasn't it?
And
it's like with a really long extended finger or something.
The claw,
giant finger going into his butthole, I think is what it is.
Because then the other cheek is like a rip and blood dripping out.
The other cheek!
It is? I mean, I'm not joking.
That's a great description. Well, on the other cheek is blood.
On one is a hand, and on the other cheek is a rip with blood dripping out.
Look, these Asians, they're crazy. We don't know what they're thinking.
Sounds like a party.
From the Orient, the Far East.
Causes anal fissures.
Ming was just awesome. Didn't matter.
He's totally awesome.
The tongue and anal fissures.
Tongue and anal. Sounds like a group.
Let's bring out a group. I don't know how you're listening to.
Anal fissures.
That sounds like a group I listen to.
American males is that, yeah.
I think Will had a band named that in 1998.
The Tongue and Anal Fissures?
Yeah.
The Tongue and Anal Fissures.
Yeah.
Called them TAF for short.
They're prog rock.
They have 11 songs in the greatest song of the 90s tournament.
Yes.
They'll still lose to Green Day. God, I froze a couple times, so I don't know where. I think I'm in a different spot.
Just got Luger, Ming Luger, tagging just, Luger back in.
Okay, I think Luger tagged Ming.
I think what Ming's trunks are like a claw, and I think the blood is supposed to be like a rip. So I think it's supposed to be a claw ripping his own trunks open.
That's
his anus bleeding.
I still think it's a dragon.
Tongue and anal fissures. With their new hit.
Coming to Spotify, yeah.
Yes.
You'll see it pop up on Scott's playlist on Facebook. Scott's listening to Ming's Ripped Pants by the Tongan Asian Anal Fixers.
Yes.
It's a long match.
Yeah.
Is this our main event?
Says
the footage?
It's the last match, yeah. It's the main event match.
Yeah, the last thing is the footage. The footage!
Wow, it was Ming. This is a somersault
Lucha
splash.
Ming.
Kind of just dropped himself on his neck.
Some sort of somersault senton, and he killed himself with it.
Bagwell's kind of got that look going, like the crazy guy from Night at the Roxbury, A Dead Man on Campus. You know that actor I'm talking about?
No.
You guys suck. None of you ever seen either of those movies?
Night at the Roxbury, but not since like 99.
Dead Man on Campus, no one's seen that?
None of you guys have seen some of the worst rated movies of the late 90s? None of you?
Night of the Roxbury was good. What are you talking about?
Yeah, Night of the Roxbury was pretty good.
Dead Man on Campus.
Had, Night of the Zach Roxbury. Morris. Let's go to Rotten Tomatoes here.
I don't give a shit what they say. I'm telling you, it's good.
It's got and he Colin was also Quinn in Night at the Roxbury.
Night of the Roxbury, he was like the personal trainer. And then Dead Man on Campus, he's like the crazy kid that they try and get to kill. Dead Man on Campus is pretty good. Well, yeah, it holds up. I watched it again like a few months ago. It was on HBO or something.
Yeah, I don't care what Rotten Tomatoes says. I thought it was funny when I was 15.
Right.
Isn't that what matters?
Gives a shit what Rotten Tomatoes says. They're all 15 anyway. They're giving the same fucking take. Get off my fucking lawn, Butler. Luger with the torture rack on Bagwell.
Butler was agreeing with you.
I know.
Still, not allowed on the man's lawn. Not after the incident.
Get a little sarcastic at the end.
11% on Rotten Tomatoes for those who are interested.
Yeah,
I believe you are talking about Lachlan Monroe.
That's him.
Also starred in Scary Movie and White Chicks. So
that's right, yeah.
A lot of integrity in the roles he chooses.
I remember a Scary Movie, that's right.
He was in Unforgiven. You know, he was in one Oscar-winning movie. He was in Unforgiven.
See?
But he was also in...
He was Doc Holliday's illegitimate son, I believe.
He was in Freddy vs. Jason, White Chicks.
I implore you all to check out Dead Man on Campus. Dark comedy. Jason Segel's in it before you knew who he was.
Hmm.
He was in a movie called Daddy Day Camp in 2007.
See, still going strong.
That's is that the Eddie Murphy one?
I don't care.
Whatever it is, it was much worse than Dead Man on Campus.
Dracula 2000, starring Leslie Nielsen.
Oh, no, it was Cuba Gooding. It wasn't. Made $18 million.
Was it Mabel that was in it?
Have we reached Bischoff and those guys at the desk?
Yes. We're getting clips from Halloween Havoc now.
I'm on the footage now.
Hogan dropping the leg on Giant.
Scott, did you see the silly string debacle yet, Scott?
The what silly? What do you mean the silly string debacle?
You'll
Mongo
get there.
Sprayed. Bobby's choking to death while everyone laughs. It's interesting.
Okay, so we did Flair's hair earlier on. Can we rank Hogan's facial hair appearances? Like, clean handlebar 80s Hogan, Thunder in Paradise Hogan, or Hollywood Hogan?
Shaved here. That's
I liked Hollywood Hogan the best.
This is the lowest of the low.
Yeah. They're completely clean shaven.
No, man. Red cowboy boots? I don't know.
This was during his dark time, though. He's burning up. Was that that was Havoc, right? When he burned the Observer?
That was World War III.
Oh, it's World War III.
One of the world's weakest bear hugs.
I like the squat giant had to
call it the most devastating. What do I know?
This was the footage we've been waiting all night for.
Yep. The soft embrace from the giant to Hulk Hogan.
Looks like they're slow dancing.
Yes.
It's Mary Jane's last dance.
Meanwhile, Kevin Sullivan really wants to break in.
This was definitely a scramble vision pay-per-view for me. And here comes the Yeti.
Yeah, I remember as well. Oh, my Lord, here he comes. They should have him break out the ice one more time just for good times.
He should have broke out of the ice every time he ever appeared on screen.
Just every week at the beginning of Nitro. Yeah.
They completely missed Luger turning on Savage there. Completely missed it.
Yeah, it was like so fast that it didn't even...
No, how did they think this was a good idea? I mean, how?
I think he turned face, heel, face, and then back to a heel all in like 12 seconds.
How do you dress a guy like a mummy and say, all right, sandwich Hulk Hogan with two double bear hugs? It just, I mean, and you think it was going to go over.
It wasn't even a bear hug. I mean, the Yeti was just grasping...
And he was literally just thrusting
his giant neck. He was dry humping.
He was. He was literally just thrusting into him.
What the hell was that?
Crowd actually cheering Hogan getting destroyed.
You know, I've always read about this, but I've never had any desire to watch this Havoc footage.
Oh my gosh.
That is the most embarrassing thing I think I've ever seen in a wrestling ring.
It's pretty awful.
At least for WCW. I don't know.
It's got to be up there for sure.
I mean, that was pretty bad. He dry humped Hogan.
He didn't even really touch Hogan though. That was the thing. Yeah. He just had his arms wrapped around the giant's
neck. It's like, you know, it's like someone's passed out. You're taking a funny picture. Like, behind, like that's what it was like. He's like, hey, giant, look at this. I'm pretending to bang Hogan.
That's exactly what it was.
Now get to the fucking keg. Jimmy Hart's passed out in the bed.
So sad, man. Jimmy Hart was the best manager of all time in Memphis.
This was good for him, though. I mean, because he was Hogan's bootlicker when he came in for a year and a half. At least this kind of got him back to being like the top heel guy for a bit.
Yeah, but I mean, it was such a bad people to be around, you know.
Yeah, Jimmy Hart is a face. I don't really get that. That whole run is weird.
Yeah, I mean, it was fine like in '93 for those couple of months, but it carried over here way too long.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Memphis, you know, talk about the past. Jimmy Hart going that Kevin Sullivan was, he was, oh my gosh, I had another stroke. That Jimmy Hart was Kevin Sullivan's only manager he's ever had.
Oh, there you go. What about the father or whatever the hell the guy's name was? King Curtis there.
King Curtis.
Will, you ever seen Dead Man on Campus?
No. Yes, I have.
You have, Willie?
Yeah.
Why the hell are you so quiet before?
You didn't want to admit to it.
Yeah, I didn't want to admit to it.
You're an idiot.
But I felt 10 minutes later I would.
Is that the one with Gosselier from the
Saved
by the
Bell?
Mm-hmm. I've never seen it. I wanted to because it had Zach on there. But
there you go. That's good.
It also has Lachlan Monroe.
Yep. And it was good too because Zach, it was the first time like you did anything. He had the dark hair. He got rid of the blonde, really shedding the Zach Morris.
I feel a PTB watch coming on here soon.
Maybe a JR watch tonight when I go to bed. How about Night at the Roxbury, Will? Have you seen that?
Will or Willie?
Will.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've definitely seen Night at the Roxbury.
Do you like it?
I don't know, man.
Would you give it a higher score than 11 out of 100?
Probably. See? I mean, my wife liked it, so I mean, she was happy that night, and if the wife's happy, everyone's happy. You know how it goes.
There you go. That's why they made it. Emilio!
Some Luger was still in really good shape, man, 10 years later.
Yeah, he definitely is. I mean, he's randomly posing.
I love Jimmy Hart doing his victory lap around the
He's running in circles. Luger's posing. Sullivan's cackling on his knees.
The only thing they're missing is Lance Russell in the ring interviewing him, man.
The only thing I'm missing is Yeti banging Tony Schiavone.
Yeti wants the big jacket.
The Yeti's been in ice for 700 years. He's pretty horny. Here he comes. Watch out, everyone.
Was that the whole show?
That was a quick one.
It was.
All right.
Guys, I think I found Lachlan Monroe's best movie. 2013, Hansel and Gretel Get Baked.
There you go.
A brother and sister battle a witch who lures teenagers into her suburban home with her special blend of marijuana.
Tonight on Cinemax. All right, let's do our awards here. Match of the night, I'm going Shark and Norton. Steve, how about you?
Shark and Norton for sure.
Scott?
Yes, definitely Shark Norton.
Glenn?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the flow here.
All right, Will?
It's a clean sweep.
And JD?
Yep.
All right, Shark and Scott Norton.
Mm-hmm.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, never see that again.
Most WCW moment, we have Steve's suggestion of the not announcing the Luger and Ming heel turn and teasing they're going to get footage. My choice is waiting for the footage and talking about it, waiting for it to come. Will, how about you?
What was the question? I'm
sorry. Most WCW moment of the show.
Oh, it has to be my man, the Yeti, dry humping Hogan.
That's a good one, too.
Glenn?
I'm going to go with that whole run around with the footage.
Jordan?
Yeah, all the footage stuff combined. The fact that the main event was just a clip from the pay-per-view. That's the main event of the show.
Scott?
Yeah, anything involving the heel turns.
All right, let's go with the footage. Let's just go with that whole thing. The footage.
Can we just listen to the whole episode?
Yes, the whole end. The missing footage, the not announcing the heel turn, the Yeti banging Giant and Hogan. The whole thing. Most mid-90s person, I'm going to say, as much as I want to give it to the males because they just exude mid-90s, I'm going
to
give it to Bobby.
To give it to the males.
I'm going
to
go
no,
Bobby. Yeah,
males.
The denim shirt with the yellow tie tucked
yeah,
into
Bobby's
the khakis.
Outfits. Yeah, I
that's like
that
old man mid-90s right there.
Yes.
Okay, Steve?
We're gonna fight about this.
I just saw like, what did you? I'm sorry. What did you say for that one?
Willie Stroke. I said Bobby Heenan. Yeah. Will said the males. See, but the males to me is like Beefcake at our '93 roster best mullet. You can give it to him every time. It's like Michael Jordan. Sometimes you want to be a little different. The males
hey,
is gonna
hey,
win every time.
Not everybody can be champion, bro.
<That's true>. Steve, your choice.
I kind of liked Scott Norton's neon green and black outfit.
Outside the box. JD?
I think I got to go with the males just because of the earring.
Scott?
Good man.
Oh, definitely the Bobby's outfit.
All right. Glenn, break the tie.
Or make it a three-way tie. Go with Scott Norton, Glenn.
Go with the worst.
Cause chaos.
Sure, okay.
Come on, Glenn. You're better than that. Don't fall for JD's parlor tricks.
Yeah, his fake brother.
No, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go with all that denim clothing. That's just so so.
If anyone heard Brainbuster here on Place to Be Nation
yes.
the other day, you know I'm a sore loser.
Yep.
And I'm not gonna let this stand.
We know you're used to losing after hearing that.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I said that Sting was from Ventura Beach. My bad.
It was
anyway.
Embarrassing that performance.
Whatever. What the fuck? It was not embarrassing. I could. I would have won, man.
I thought they're breaking my back.
What was embarrassing that the winner won without having to answer a question?
That was embarrassing. That was really bad.
It was a valiant comeback. It was the only game show I've ever heard where all the contestants are talking during the entire show.
I was out there breaking my back, shoveling 6 inches of snow, listening to Will choke that game away. I wanted to punch a hole in the road.
Actually, right. I came back, man. I was.
It was a valiant comeback.
Joke. You had
anyway,
it.
No, let me explain the males, dude. Okay, I used to bartend back in the 90s, right? And, you know, some of my regulars were male strippers. You know, they would come in on their nights off. And the thing about male strippers, and this is the great thing about American males, is that when they get on the dance floor, they can't just dance with the rest of the crowd. You have to clear about 10 feet so that they can reenact their entire performance on the dance floor. Okay? And there they are with their suspenders and their cowboy boots with their poofy pants. You know, with their poofy slacks and their perfectly coiffed hair. I'm telling you, man, that is straight up 90s male stripper. I mean, those guys had it down to a T, especially Scotty Riggs. Add the 5 o'clock shadow, American males all the way. Sorry, guys.
Good right. Even the frosted tips, because I thought that was more like late 90s, 2000s.
No, frosted tips were even earlier than that. I mean, you got to think, Vanilla Ice in 90 had frosted tips. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Also, too, Justin compared him to a guy from A Night at the Roxbury, Dead Man on Campus, which were out in the 90s.
Right.
All
right,
fine. Give an honorable mention to Bobby Shirt.
We did it.
Poor Bobby. Can't win. All right.
Anyway, I have the thing here, and I'm not changing it, so it's staying Bobby Heenan, so you can describe strippers all you want.
Do we have a most random appearance?
No, not yet. We don't. That's the
one.
Was
there one?
Not really.
No.
I guess. I don't know. I guess the Yeti is still a random appearance, right?
I think he didn't show up. I think you could say it was random that Lex Luger appeared as Meng's tag team partner, given what Steve told us.
Yeah, that's random.
They hadn't explained that he turned heel, that he just teamed with them.
Yeah, we'll go with that for now. We haven't really gotten to that era of Nitro yet where we get like the real random guys popping up.
Yeah.
All right,
Kernodal. All right, next week.
Overall grade, Scott, out of 10?
Oh, like 3.
All right, Willie?
3.5. That was by far the worst one we've seen.
Jordan?
Yeah, this is crap. I'll say 3. Be generous.
Will?
I think all of you are way too generous. I gave it a 1. It was horrible.
Wow.
Glenn?
The only thing that got me through it was talking with you guys. I would have turned it off after that, the first match.
Glenn?
Well, we do that most every week. I'm going to give it a 3.
Yeah, I'm going to go 2.5. But I think it's a 3 average, so we'll go with that.
13, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back. Let's do that.
Okay, because.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials one and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcast? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Pav. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week, join Marcus Vandenberg and myself for the world's most dangerous sports show and the program that's changing the game one show at a time, the Kings of Sport Podcast. Available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the Big Four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island, and look for the great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rod Naylor.
Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and... Shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, ProWrestlingOnly.com, Scott Keith blog at RSPWFAQ.net, and PileDriverWrestling.net.
Hey, this is the King of the Mountain, Jeff Jarrett, the founder and president of Global Force Wrestling, and you're listening to the Place to Be podcast.
All right, Nation, we're back. Doing a little Nitro rewatch party. Just talked October 30th, headed towards November 6th. Let's talk quick about PlaceToBeNation.com. Scott, our Vintage Vault refresh went up, WrestleMania 7.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, headlined by Hulk Hogan and Sergeant Slaughter. All new fun facts and opinions and match grades. You can check that out.
Yes.
Glenn, you had quite the piece up today on the ghost of Randy Savage. You want to just give us a quick couple seconds on that?
Well, there was an article earlier in the week that someone spotted the ghost of Randy Savage at an indie show in Florida. And I was just thinking, with his upcoming induction in the Hall of Fame, what vengeance is his visage, his spirit that has pierced the veil into our earthly realm going to wreak? Who is he going to visit? What is he going to do? And what unfinished business does he have? And so I was just contemplating that a little bit.
All right, so you can check out those contemplations and the picture on that article by Glenn Butler over at the site. Will, you did a reaction show last night for NXT TakeOver. Want to give us a couple of seconds on that one?
Sure, man. NXT keeps knocking it out of the park. Their pay-per-view specials or network specials, every single one of them has been a thumbs up. It's like the worse WWE gets, the better NXT seems. So.
And that was Johnny and Pete from Titans, Phil Schneider from Segunda Cayeta, and Chris Zellner.
Yeah, and we're going to be back again next week. And Scott, you going to join us for the fast lane?
I'll try. Haven't been on in a while. Give it a shot. We'll see.
Still waiting for JR's first appearance on this show.
Someday. Certainly. Well, you know, if it was this weekend, I would have done it because it would have been the long weekend. I could have swung it. You know,
I know. I was surprised. I forgot.
You got to give those guys a time limit, Will. You know, they don't get paid by the minute. So. Sorrow gets paid by the shot, but, you know.
Speaking of getting paid by the minute, Stephen Graham's Pro Wrestling Super Show is back up. Him, Glenn, and Mark Clare in the house for ECW Heat Wave 98. You'll be hearing a lot of Clare. He'll be back with us Monday for WrestleMania 20. Scott, you and the crew did main event. You were a little bit late, so Mr. Andrew Reich stepped in and started things off with Jordan, Steve, and Aaron. Previewed the NXT show, but also broke down Triple H's appearance on Austin's podcast and a lot of other fun discussions as well.
Yes.
Greatest Slug of the 90s tournament into round six that closes. Glenn, when do we say that shit closes? Is it tonight?
It's going to close tomorrow. I'm going to tally it up Friday afternoon.
Okay.
And get a new round up Friday night.
All right, so listen to this and vote if you haven't yet. We're down to, what is it, 16 songs, I think, are in there. So.
This six is the Jewel 16 songs. Right now, yep.
six Jewel songs in the finals?
Six Jewel songs and 10 Green Days, so.
That's there will be once I tally it up and make the next round. So.
That's right. Bring back Juicy. Claire continued his breaking down the top matches of 2014. Gimmick there. He's did part two, number 20 to number 16. Glenn's Wednesday walk around the web. Always a titillating look at the news and interesting stories that you can find out on the internet. A lot of tits lading for you. Kevin Kelly Show, as we mentioned, had B. Brian Blair in the house, talked Cauliflower Alley Club and a lot of other amped up, coked up nonsense, as only Brian Blair can bring. So if you haven't heard that, it was definitely straight out of 1987, that interview, but really nice guy. It was really cool to have him on. Seinfeld rewatch series continued with The Outing, which I can't believe Aaron George gave an 8 out of 10, Jordan, somehow.
Yeah, what's wrong with him?
I don't know. He's a little off. And we'll be back tomorrow with The Shoes. So check all that out, placemanation.com. Big stuff coming next week as well as tomorrow and each and every day. So be sure to check us out all the time. Check out the Pro Wrestling Only message board as well. You can visit our buddy Will over there. Otherwise, let's get back into Nitro, fellas. So is everyone paused here on the November 6th episode?
Mm-hmm. We're there.
All right. We get the got buildings it. Fading. And 3, 2... As the fire ravages this town one more time.
This fire burns always.
I have bad news for Scott. Jim Duggan was in the dark match this week, so we won't get to see him here.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, good man. That we provided that up. Good that we provided that update, Jordan.
Yes. He beat Big Bubba Rogers, which that may have been an okay match.
It's not bad.
When am I going to get some Duggan action here?
Have we had some Duggan action? We've had one Duggan match, right?
Yeah, I remember one, yeah.
This is Tape Fist era Duggan, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're in Jacksonville tonight.
Oh, Pepe.
Poor Pepe is dressed as a clown?
A mime?
Pepe looks like she's trying to escape desperately this week.
I think it's a mime.
Or like
Pagliacci. Oh. Sad clown.
He is dressed as a clown in honor of Jimmy Hart.
Yeah, baby. Let's see that Pagliacci guy go and sing.
Ooh, phone number no longer active.
Oh,
I can't believe that they actually took the time to.
Oh, it is 1-900-370-3WCW. The captions tell us.
Call it, Steve.
Hold on.
No. Do you have your parents' permission?
No, I don't. Hold on, I'm going to text him.
You can vote for Jim Duggan, Steve. Do it.
You can vote for Dave Sullivan.
Colossal waste of money.
So I could do... Oh, no, I can't do Dave Sullivan versus Jerry Sags.
Mr. JL.
I'm going to say that the dog is my favorite part of the announce team. I'm serious. I think after four shows, I think I'm finally getting the dog. I get it. It's my favorite. They should have marketed like little like plush Pepes.
It's my favorite too, baby. That bitch can sing.
is that Crazy Joe Davola?
You can check that out in each and every other Seinfeld episode, placemanation.com, every Tuesday and Friday.
Bobby looks a lot more comfortable this week than he did last week.
Yes.
Eyeless. Well, Bobby's got a more 80s look going on here.
Bischoff is fired up tonight. Mm. Can't hear him, but he is pointing and pounding. And
what was he saying, Willie?
Bischoff was just yelling to make the phone call. Heenan was saying he's already called and asked for Schiavone versus Okerlund.
That's better than some of the other options.
Yeah, pretty much.
What member of the military do we have now?
That's Cobra.
Who is this guy? Like, is there any background on this guy?
Well, he's coming to the ring in Morse code.
Yeah, he sucks.
Beep, 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 beep.
Cobra.
I feel like the Morse code is dubbed in.
Like, no, it was, rights to no, it was real.
Next it is year, not. Correct?
Huh? Oh, you know who that is, guys? That is the infamous Jeff Farmer.
Yes, that's what Jordan was referencing. Reesh. Yeah.
That's fake Steve, right?
Yeah.
Jordan, talk louder.
The Morse code was not dubbed in, Steve. That was his actual theme at the time.
Yeah. It seemed like dubbed over. Like,
and maybe they didn't have the rights to the original Morse code.
Yes, seriously.
That particular beat is... I think Puff Daddy has the copyright on that, so they had to dub it over.
Now, if I remember, he actually did come in to feud with Craig Pittman.
Puff Daddy?
Yeah.
This guy's Jeff Farmer.
Yes, Cobra did wanted. Come in. Yes, Cobra came in to feud with Pittman. That was the big. That was a hot feud for a while there.
He now works as a research guy at the University of Miami.
What the hell are they doing to poor David Penzer?
Giant lifted him way up over the head. Jimmy Hart is very excited about this.
If I was Penzer, I'd be very nervous that the Yeti was coming in from behind right there.
There's a small child excited. In the crowd pointing and laughing at all of this happening, too.
Giant forced Penzer to say that this was a title match, although it is not actually a title match.
Cobra's big chance here.
Bischoff screaming that it is not a title match.
Oh, so he's saying that he's the world champion. That's why he's saying it's a title match, but he's not the world champion. Is that what the insinuation is here?
No, the insinuation is that he forced Penzer into saying it was a title match. Is he the champion? I don't even know.
No, I think that's the storyline.
No, he didn't win it at Halloween Havoc because he got disqualified because of Yeti.
See, I thought that that he could win by DQ at Havoc.
It's something screwy. Because that's why they put it up at World War III. So he's champion, but he's not. I don't know. It's all weird. That's why he's saying it's a title match, and Bischoff saying no, it's not. Because
at the end of Havoc, Michael Buffer was quite strenuously reminding everyone that he got disqualified and he couldn't win by disqualification. Oh, okay. And get the title,
guys.
Who are we voting for?
There's the Red Locker Room. Okay, there we go. I was going to say, the Red Locker Room has Norton and Shark with each other. Now they're actually fighting.
Another argument. It's a hell of a team. Who's hiding in the back? Oh, the Boo Bloods drinking tea.
That's awesome.
It's a heck of a
what
shirt.
What the hell is that sweater Ric Flair's wearing?
It said No Limits on it.
It's my I love the No Limits Soldiers?
Yeah. Foreshadowing.
I love DDP's 95 tights. They're awesome.
Is that Evad in the back there?
Yes. Why did Johnny B. Bad look like he just wrestled?
Whoa!
Fix the beta tape.
What happened to the tape?
Sure, Duggan walks by and the screen gets
fucked
up.
What the hell is he doing?
Just throwing chairs.
All right, so who are we picking out of this? I'm guessing Sting and Flair is going to be what the choice is because everyone else is not someone people would vote for. Did Johnny B. Bad work a dark match or something? He's like drenched. Look, he just got out of the ring.
That's what I was saying. He's like, did he?
Too bad we can't
Jerry
Lynn. Too bad we can't pick from the same locker room.
Poor Jerry Lynn, the only one not on cocaine in that whole room.
Pretty much.
Duggan was amazing there, though. That was great.
Yeah. It's like he's imitating the Bushwhackers as he walked by every time.
You should have licked someone then.
Big World War III promo. I believe this pay-per-view was in, somewhere in Virginia. Hampton, Virginia, maybe?
You know, the sad thing is that when Jerry Lynn was standing next to everyone else, I thought he was so short, he was Rey Mysterio.
I always got confused by that.
I thought
too,
that for
Will,
a second,
when
too.
He wears
the
purple. I mean, I knew Mysterio wasn't in there. It's just like he was so short compared to every single other guy in that locker room.
Guys, we're going back to Venice Beach, California.
Ventura Beach.
Oh, my God. Never going to live that down.
What's this guy wearing? Is this like an Aladdin stage show or something?
Yeah, and he's singing. He's riffing on Hulk Hogan.
Oh, he looks terrible without a mustache.
I think that's the guy from Suburban Commando.
Oh, my God. Is this the dark side of Hulkamania?
Talking to homeless people?
I'm pretty sure it's the guy from Suburban Commando that gets mad when his car gets dinged.
That is the War Man of Venice Beach, his main man brother.
Oh, okay.
He's replaced Jimmy Hart.
Makes sense. Same level of credibility in the wrestling world.
I'm not making that up, by the way. That is legit what he said.
Have y'all ever been to Venice Beach?
I have not.
No.
It's fun, man. I'll tell you what. It's a trip. Like, you know, that's where the freaks come out to play.
Is that Aaron Boone in the background with that Yankee hat?
I thought
on?
It was Dave Meltzer.
It does look. I think it is Meltzer. It looks like Meltzer.
Like, he has that look like, what the fuck are these guys doing?
Why are they writing about it?
It's got to be Meltzer.
It does look like Meltzer, doesn't it?
I think it's him.
Just a look of, like, disgust on his face the entire time, too.
I'm guessing he saw this, ripped it, and that's why Hogan burns the dirt sheet at World War III. That's my fan fiction I'm writing right now for this whole scenario.
Everyone in the background is so unimpressed by everything.
Well, wouldn't you be? Look at this fucking nonsense. Yeah.
And that is legit, the legit Muscle Beach right behind. That's where the That is where they go to work out. It must be.
That guy in the middle is lounging pretty comfortably on Randy Savage there.
Yes, I love this thigh. Oh, Savage has bad. He's got that John Cena smile.
It's not Meltzer. I don't think Meltzer would actually be smiling at any of this.
That woman might have the most 90s outfit on. Denim with denim.
I don't know. That might be this guy right here. Either way, this is our most 90s moment.
I don't know.
I mean, most WCW moment, I meant.
Oh, yeah.
So did Halloween Havoc break WCW? Because the Nitros before Halloween Havoc, for the most part, were pretty good.
Well, it seems like they're getting more storyline driven with some of this, so we're not getting some of those just random good matches thrown in.
Are you saying you didn't like that segment, Steve?
I'm saying I didn't like the exploitation of the homeless man. No, I did not.
I think the work rate's about to pick up, though.
We got Giant versus Cobra. Now we got Jimmy Hart again.
I wonder if I can give a rating to this show lower than the last show. Like, I'm not,
See, that's why you got to be careful with the ones.
You got to pick your spots, Will. You can't just give everything ones and tens.
I'm an extreme guy, you know.
Well, oh boy!
You're not giving it a 10 now. You definitely are.
I told you.
This Nitro immediately just got a 37, and he's got tassels. Poor Kevin Sullivan's got sell for this scrub.
Did you see Kevin Sullivan climb the ropes before the guy?
It's the only way he can get over the top.
Yeah, I was going to do a move.
He climbed.
Look at this absurdity.
See, Jimmy Hart doesn't have the Hulk Hogan jacket on anymore. He has a jacket with his own face on it.
He's evil.
It's evil.
Yeah, so
Renegade's R's are red and yellow. That means he's joining the Dungeon of Doom. Hogan must be really pissed. Why is everybody stealing my colors, brother?
No, he was aligned with Hogan, remember? That was the whole thing. Hogan brought
him in. Well, that was early in the year. Was he still aligned? I think he was more of a jobber at this point, no?
Yeah, but those bloodlines run deep, you know?
Yes, Glenn.
Is that why Hogan's in black now? Because
everybody else stole his colors.
Yes.
God, Renegade had that brutal run in the summer where he won the TV title.
Oh, yeah.
Beat Arn.
That must have killed you, Will.
Oh, I cried.
Arn had a job to Renegade.
So sad.
Yeah.
Renegade either doing a really good job of selling here, or he's completely blown up within 60 seconds.
I like the latter.
He went pretty hard early.
Yeah, I believe the latter there, Willie.
Those are like the worst paint job R's of all time, too. It's
fifth grade.
You'd just be better off without them altogether. That's how bad they are. Zero redeemable qualities to those R's. They look more like an AIDS ribbon than an R.
It's hilarious.
So bad.
Yeah, this is really slow. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Sullivan tries a slingshot somersault thing, and
oh, my God.
He comes
like
up
a senton.
2 feet short.
Did you notice, like, only his heel hit, like, the Renegade's elbow?
Awful.
Oh, shit. Renegade Muda right there with his
it was like
springboard
China.
Hand.
It's like more China than Muda. Tree of Woe. It's amazing how that only happens in Kevin Sullivan matches. Mm-hmm. Guys get tied up.
Is he going for the double stomp there?
I think so.
Bobby Heenan saying that his deal with Sonny Ono means that they're going to see members of the Japanese contingent for a half an hour on every Saturday morning.
Nice. Oh, so we watched that pro. Show. Yeah, pro got taken over.
Poor Renegade, man. Rest in peace, brother.
Jimmy Hart got a solo cup going on. He's going to throw coffee at him.
What concoction has he got in there?
Oh, he's wiping the yellow, red and yellow paint off.
Now, who do you guys think does the double stomp better, Kevin Sullivan or Finn Balor?
Sullivan gets more hang time, I think.
Sullivan, man. Well, I mean, the thing with Sullivan is he's so compact, it looks like he's going to hurt you. You know what I mean? Finn Balor, yeah, he's...
But he also struggles to even get to the second rope.
Well, this is late in his career. When Finn Balor's 62, like Sullivan is here, Then we'll compare him. Come on.
Imagine if Jimmy Hart, he didn't realize it was just like easy washable paint, so they threw paint thinner in his face. And
we gotta make it real.
This paint won't come off unless we use this heavy grade paint thinner.
Fry his eye out.
Jimmy Hart saying he's taken his identity. He didn't put it over that he took his identity. And Jimmy Hart saying this isn't a renegade. He's an imposter. His name's Rick.
Okay.
Regal rocking the monocle. Pretty cool.
Shark and Norton just leave.
He hasn't been on any wrestling shows either, has he?
And the lights just went out. There's our WCW moment right there.
I think the sexual tension for Norton and Shark finally boil over. Come on! Let's go!
DDP's 95 tights were fucking awesome. A big diamond. Very cool.
Flair just going nuts.
I am a no-limit soldier.
I mean, are they clearly pushing Flair Sting, Steve? It just looks like it from the way they're doing
it. Yeah, very much so.
Somewhere just now, The Undertaker was trying out his powers, and he turned out the lights and turned them back on in the wrong place.
Yes.
DDP, you might like those tights, but you're looking pretty indie-tastic.
You know, we're on the same wavelength. I was waiting for somebody to say it, and I'm glad it was you.
Is this Benoit Guerrero next?
Wow.
Show may be saved.
They gotta follow Taskmaster versus Renegade, though, so.
Arn and Kurosawa on Saturday night.
There's a Will match right there. Inferno.
By himself.
And a guy who's always by himself.
Yes.
Because he has no friends.
It's the debut of Disco Inferno's hit music video.
Oh. And this is the debut of Duggan.
No.
I still think so.
Was it Oil of Olay every day?
No, that was a few years later. Ireland.
I know, man. I was just
Duggan's going to Ireland.
I don't remember the original video.
I think it's pretty awful. Here we go. I mean, I guess we are getting Benoit Guerrero.
Yeah, I was going to say, here's our match of the night.
Yeah, what is it doing now?
Well, I don't know. It depends whether we get interference by the Yeti.
Depends if we get Evad Sullivan versus Big Bubba, because I can steal it if that wins the vote.
Yeah.
If this was 2000, Scott Steiner would come out and squash both of them before they had a chance to finish.
Benoit's got his, those is Pegasus Kid tights? The star and the...
Yeah.
I was thinking that, but he
usually wore yellow, though, did he?
No.
Yeah, I was thinking, did he wear more white and blue in a...
Yeah, like a powder blue.
Yeah.
But I don't think that was exclusive, though, was it? Just wasn't like
no,
always...
but that seemed to be his go-to. Like
that's,
his,
yeah, it
his
seemed to be his
color.
Go-to tights, but I don't remember him. But, I mean, he did wear stars, so maybe that's
there's it. A good chance it's the same tights. He's only like a couple months removed from his run there.
He wanted to wear tights with a big claw ripping at his butthole, but Mang already had those.
The design is absolutely the same design, but the color.
Yeah. I like Eddie's white and red tights. I was never a fan of the black.
I never liked Eddie with the singlet top either. Mm. I don't know. He just looked
it was baby
goofy.
Face look.
Yeah.
Ooh, Benoit jumps him early. Here we go.
Yeah, they referred to him as the Canadian Crippler here.
That 10 seconds might be the best 10 seconds.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Even if the match ended right there.
Well, Will, you didn't hear earlier on, though, Mick Michael trying to hold Pepe back from going to the ring to bite Jimmy Hart's keister.
Freaking Pepe.
That might have caused some fissures.
Tomato fissures.
Go give him some tomato fissures.
Gimmick.
He wants Ming's honey blood.
Go give him some tomato fissures, Pepe.
Yeah, they have announced the Cruiserweight Championship that will be coming in the next few weeks.
Oh, JR, we've been keeping track of who referees, Pee-wee and Patrick.
Sorry, someone new.
We got a new guy here.
That Mike Atkins, was he still around? I don't think that's him.
Is that Curtis?
No, it's not Curtis. Curtis is smaller than that. I don't know who this guy is.
We only had two matches, right? Last show, and I think both had. We had three matches. I think one was Pee-wee and two was Nick Patrick. Yeah, I have written that.
I know I noticed Nick Patrick in one of them. Let's see. WCW referees.
Referees.
Here we have the Japanese contingent again.
Hey, there's Chono.
Saito.
Sasaki.
Saito, look at this.
Liger.
Liger. Kensuke Sasaki.
It's your crew, Will, right here, huh?
Man, I am in heaven right here. This is it.
They fly them all in to sit and eat dinner.
Yes. Kensuke Sasaki looks like a fat dude.
Is that a most WCW moment, too?
Fly these guys
the same
in
the sushi and,
yeah, yeah.
Same sushi and sashimi dishes last week.
They just kept sending them along for a week.
I guess it depends how long they were actually here. Like, you know, did they just fly them in and then fly them right back out?
No, then, they probably taped all those pro matches. They probably taped 75 pro matches in two nights.
Yeah. I would say it's disqualified because there's actually a reason for them to be there. But if they did fly them in solely just to have dinner on the stage, then yes, that would be it.
So, pretty good match so far.
I think the first one better. But this has been...
Wow.
That was pretty far.
Yeah, Eddie went off the top with a dive. Probably 10 feet deep into the aisle.
Now, to Heenan's credit, he's been doing a pretty good job here of putting over Benoit and putting over this match. Like, you can actually see him or hear him getting excited.
Yeah, that's nice for a change for him.
Mm-hmm.
You don't always,
especially with Benoit.
Right. It's brain buster from Eddie.
Nice.
It's almost like a throwback to the Coco Beware brain busters of the 80s.
Ghostbuster. Mm.
The Ghostbuster, that's right.
Oh, we getting set for a little froggy? Nope, Benoit, get up.
No, so they fought before, right, on this?
Yeah.
Is this the second time we've seen them?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
They won match of the night on the last show.
Yeah, that's right.
That one in Chicago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know we've seen Eddie Dean as well, one of the earlier ones.
Did we see Dean against both of them? Did Dean fight Benoit yet? I don't think so.
No.
There was a tag match.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And JL was in that tag match. That was on the last taping as well.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Benoit, the nasty powerbomb.
Ooh,
sick.
Wow. Yeah.
Jeez.
That's Owens-esque right
drove
there.
Drove him down. Wow.
Near fall only. This is a completely different class of wrestling when these guys come out on this show.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it's not even like you're watching the same promotion.
It really is shocking how disjointed it is, right? It's like a shock to your system. You know, you're watching all this garbage, and then all of a sudden these guys come on. I mean,
oh, there's definitely discussions backstage right now going, maybe these guys should have the Yeti come out. This match is way too boring. We need the Yeti.
Well, I was just thinking, it's kind of weird that the guys come out who are building the upcoming cruiserweight division, and it's the hardest hitting, like, big moves that we've seen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, our first match, we had a 5-second choke slam, and...
Yeah.
It's a move that Eddie pulled out the victory roll that he won within the last show we watched. Can beat Pittman, but not Benoit.
Ugh, I don't know how that works.
He left reversed into a...
Yeah, that was a nice move. That was very impressive. You know why? They're very un-Benoit-like colors. I think that's why I'm digging these tights, because he was never... He mostly wore, like, dark colors, blues, blacks.
Black and red.
Reds.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't wear, like, bright yellows a lot, so that's what makes him kind of cool.
And when he was Pegasus, he'd even mix in, like, the zebra stripes. Or
Yep, definitely. These are, like, Rocky's tights from the first movie with the... Or maybe it's the second one that he wore. Yeah, it was the second one he wore, black and gold.
That German suplex number one. Couldn't get number two, but he...
Northern Lights.
Nice, yep. Northern Lights.
I wish I knew who this ref was. It's killing me.
Yeah, I was Googling it. I can't find anything.
Eric Bischoff, please vote for Ric Flair and Sting. Please. This is all on the up and up. I really want to see it.
Well, I'm going to get out my time travel phone and vote for Jim Duggan.
I would have voted for William Regal. Sorry. You know, it was right there.
Who would you have picked on the other side then?
Does it matter? It's William Regal.
Oh, of course not. But I
don't know. I guess, you know, Regal and Sting did have some really good matches. So
I wouldn't mind seeing that.
I don't know, Will. I think Arn was in the other room.
Johnny be bad.
Eddie gets the win.
Yeah, Benoit had gets his foot screwed. On the ropes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Benoit had his foot on the ropes the whole time.
Was Arn in on the face side?
No.
No, it was Johnny be bad, Dave Sullivan, JL,
Duggan.
Nasty and boys.
No, yeah, I'm going to go Johnny be bad then.
Yeah,
so because we know that's a lock for a good match.
Mm. Well, they have good matches in this stretch.
Here's Evad.
I think we're getting Sting and Flair.
And you see the director also
Alex Wright's
shoving his paper in there.
I'm still going Johnny B. Bad.
No lie, completely serious. I think Hacksaw Duggan versus Ric Flair would be badass.
You know what? I'm not even going to argue with that, man. I think
it might be.
You forgot one word in between, Glenn. Bad as ass is what you forgot.
No, come on.
Sorry, Will. You could no.
I'm voting for Tony Schiavone.
Yeah,
Schiavone.
Winner gets to wear Schiavone's jacket, and the whole team can fit in it.
I'm with you.
Sting's
Glenn.
Decked out for Halloween.
Bring me Duggan versus Flair. Tape fist match. I'm all over it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, great.
Sure. You throw a stiff to it. Why don't you?
Why is Sting
I think the only thing they'd need is a ring, but I'm fine with any stiff they want to put on it, too.
Yeah, Johnny B. Bad must have wrestled a dark match because he's, like, exasperated.
Yeah.
No, I think he just liked to oil himself up.
His hair, too?
Yeah.
Maybe he was watching that Yeti footage, got fired up.
Yeti with Norton and Shark there.
Do any of you guys remember a referee named Robart Jones?
What's the worst thing ever?
What's his name? Rhubarb Jones?
Robarb Jones.
No.
Because I found a list of referees for WCW, and that's the only one who I don't know. So that could have been Robarb there.
I don't think so.
No, Rhubarb was earlier. He was like a...
Referee to all the Don Kernodle matches.
Yeah, somewhere
around. Don Kernodle.
It looked like Mike Atkins, but I thought he was gone by then.
Does anybody own the Fall Brawl 95 tape? I have a dub I got on eBay. Well, besides the network, but did anybody get the were they like $1,000 like the old WWF tape? Well, not back at that stretch, but like Survivor Series 87. Only $45.
This episode feels much longer to me. Like it's shocking to me. We still have 20 minutes left.
Mm. Yeah. Bobby getting hammered on Saki.
Right. What are you drinking over there? That is Shibinis.
Shibinis, doobity boobity.
Look at my don't sad, tragic dog.
Pepe didn't want to look at the camera.
Bischoff just looks all verklempt over this match with Ric Flair and Sting.
I think.
Is that what won? Did they officially announce it?
They just announced it right now, yeah.
Bischoff's double-breasted leather jacket. I think that might be most 90s.
I like how they call it the special interactive match, as if the fans can actually, like, jump the ring.
Yes.
Well, there we go. Wasting no time after the heel turn from Havoc.
That does really feel like a match that should have been promoted for pay-per-view, right? I mean, this feels like such a throwaway.
It's got to be. I'm sure we're going to get a Shimazi tease here. That'd be my guess.
Yeah, I think it is because. Wow, look at that guy.
Wow. That guy's rough.
Did Hogan and Savage find him too?
Charles Manson got a work release day. That's a Monday Nitro.
I got to see the hottest action in the world.
Flair took the sweater off for the entrance, I see.
Yes. Yeah. He is not a no-limit soldier for this match.
Well, I'll give him credit. They're trying to put over the fact that this was a quote-unquote random match, coming out without their ring gear and stuff, and the robe, Sting without his robe, Flair without his pants. I mean...
when does Flair ever have his pants? Yeah.
I don't get why Sting is so angry about Flair turning on him when he
who's Flair in the front row?
Yeah,
early version.
That's
of Nitro
why I was stumbling in my words there, Will.
I think it's a Hooter girl.
I was a little distracted.
Bring her back.
To recap, Steve's summary was I think that
the stroke.
My eyes bugged out of my face.
You went all Roman Reigns on us.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking Looney Tunes. I wonder if we can predict the spots in this match as we go. There's a press slam by Sting, right? All the Sting flare up, spots.
Get some punches.
You know, that's the most alive I've heard a crowd on one of these Nitros yet.
Mm. Counting to 10?
You know. Yeah, no, just even the background, just the enthusiasm. I'm not saying like
you can volume, see him move.
I don't have my volume turned up, but I'm just talking about just the enthusiasm of like people jumping up and down and
the no selling of the chops.
It's a long match based on the timeline.
I mean, not a shock.
Mm.
They really jammed a lot into the show, though. I mean, it was looking pretty shaky at first, but to close with Benoit Guerrero and Sting Flair is pretty good, considering what we started with.
So you get
this show's not going to get a 1 out of 10.
No,
you get the larger woman, and almost a throwback to the last episode with the denim and the black in the front row middle, and then right next to her you have like someone dressed in like a cowboy outfit with her midriff bare. It's an odd twosome sitting next to each other.
Okay, I think I just saw the cowboy woman.
She's right next to the large lady in the denim.
The Wisconsin 11.
It's the Wisconsin 8. Come on.
You're not taking her home to Papa Willie.
No, no. Papa Willie making an appearance in WWE 24/7.
That's right, yeah.
At Leon White picture. I never was a big fan when you interrupt your big time match with a commercial. Not necessarily a commercial going to break, but with an in-house commercial.
Mm.
Right.
We have this great live match, and let's show our 30 little second spot for the pay-per-view.
World War III. First ever.
And I did confirm it will be in Virginia. It's at the Scope in Norfolk.
We got two World War IIIs in Detroit, 97 and 98. I don't know where 96 was.
I think that one was at the Scope too. I think the first two were both at the Scope.
And then I think by 99 it was gone, right?
Yeah, 98 was the last one.
I remember they tried doing that because, like, Super Brawl would always end up in San Francisco by the end, you know. Yep. And man, what could have been WCW?
Wow, snapping on the figure four early.
Almost, I don't know. Have y'all ever seen like Tito Santana matches from like the WWF in the mid '80s?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, definitely.
And he would use, you know, this was before he'd use the flying burrito. Right. You know, he would just like beat the shit out of a guy and then all of a sudden just randomly put the figure four on. You know, that's what this felt like.
No work in the leg or anything like that. Right. Slap it on.
I mean, because he was immediately, after when he beat Morocco for the IC belt, he pretty much immediately started feuding with Greg Valentine almost immediately. And I think they were like dueling figure fours. For at least 2 years or a year and a half, yeah.
Yeah, a good year and a half. Maybe right around a year, you know. Mm. But yeah, it was one of the best feuds of all time. No doubt.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Definitely.
I highly recommend people check that out. Now, come on. Flair doesn't even have it locked in.
Yeah.
Look. Oh, no, he does. He does. Okay. I saw his...
it's a little lazy, though.
Sting's other foot is kind of hidden down there.
It looked like he had, like, a micro foot, right? Like, one of those little, like, half feet. It was locked foot. In, but it looked like a little, like you know, a guy who wears a size 12 and then a size 6, you know?
Better than a micro penis.
Yeah.
Micro Valvenus.
Or a Kerry Von Erich special, you know?
Just come off?
Yeah.
This really feels like, okay, let's go do our greatest hits and get out of here. Like, they're just kind of...
Our 45-minute match in 13 minutes.
But that's a good thing, because their 45-minute match was way entirely too long. I kind of like Flair Sting sprint style, you know? Because Sting isn't a guy who should be working long matches anyway.
I think he's going to next month, though.
Why? Which match was he going to work that goes long next month?
Oh, next month in real time against Triple H is what I'm talking about.
What a nightmare.
It's going to be a 20 minute at least.
Scott's got him working on his cardio. He'll be fine.
I mean, Triple H almost had me turned, man. Had the great Bryan match at WrestleMania, the six
Shield
man
matches. Yep.
Shield matches. And now he's got to prove that he's better than Sting. Fuck. It's horrible. Sorry, Scott.
I knew I was waiting for that, Will.
He put him over.
I didn't say anything. Jesus. Fucking guys.
Fuck.
Now, I'm sorry if someone said this already, but what's with the Midnight Rider in the first row?
Which guy?
He's on the side. Sure. There's a guy on the side with...
camera's going nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. You're picking up things.
Barry, he just tried to grab the chair from Flair.
Oh, yeah. What's that guy? He's got a mask on.
Oh, yeah, huh? Yeah, baby, fuck with me.
Oh, yeah. Is that Mr. Wrestling 2 who's fat ass but he fit into his mask?
It's Dusty Rhodes.
That's the worst. Oh, my God. The freaking assassin in 94. That mask can barely fit over his jowls.
It's like it barely fit like his eyes and his nose, and he had to stretch it as far as he could.
They did that weird thing where they teased a feud with him and Dusty out of nowhere.
Pee-wee doing this one.
This match. Eric Bischoff out of nowhere just says, "Stay with us." And it's like, what? It was so random. Like, there was silence, and then Bischoff just all of a sudden says, "Stay with us. Stay with us.
Please.
Don't switch to Raw."
They have a very important announcement following this contest.
Well, I'm Raw guessing...
Raw really bad at this time, though, man. I mean,
well, this, though, was 8 to 9, I think, and Raw was 9 to 10, so I'm guessing he was trying to keep anyone that may switch over. I'm pretty sure that's how it went at this point.
And he bridges up.
What do you guys think so far of this versus the Benoit Guerrero match?
Oh, I don't think it's as good as the Benoit Guerrero match, but it's still pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun.
I mean, overall, this episode is way better than the first one. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they saved it with this back end last half hour or so.
I liked Eddie Benoit better.
It's going to be at least a two.
I'm enjoying this match, man.
It's been good.
Yeah, it's been good.
I'm really distracted by the Midnight Rider.
They'll sing to Randy Anderson.
Midnight Rider, baby.
And here comes Vintage Flair 95.
Yes. Yeah, and Sting decided that Flair needed to be the ref needed to be relocated here.
Now, Sting is the U.S. champion, right?
Yes.
Is this for his title?
I don't think so.
Johnny B. Badd have?
TV.
TV title.
TV.
Okay.
He won it from TDP at the pay-per-view.
I think it's his non-title.
Okay.
All right, so Raw on this night, it was the third taping from 1023 in Brandon, Manitoba. included okay. Todd Pett.
That just sounds like a long night.
Yeah. Included Todd Pettengill announcing that the team of the Dark Side would face the Royals at the Survivor Series. Featured the announcement that Razor Ramon would defend the IC title against Psycho Sid in a match where a DQ or countout can result in a title change with 1-2-3 Kid as the guest ref.
Huh. Well, you know what? I mean, you say that was a long night, but really, is it any longer than our 3-hour Raws that we're getting now? If you're taping 3 1-hour Raws?
They used to do 4. They would do 4 the day. But yeah, it probably still wasn't much shorter, if any.
Yeah.
They probably started at 7.
Now they do 3 hours of Raw plus Superstars.
Right. I was also thinking plus it was in Manitoba, too.
Plus they also throw an extra dark match before and an extra dark match after, too.
Sure. But would they do all the editing, the TV editing on later, though? I mean... Because now if you go to a Raw, like, it goes dark. you know, and then it comes back and it's
right. Yeah, I don't think they took long breaks. Right, I think they moved pretty quick and then just pieced it all together after. So, and they weren't full shows because you didn't have the backstage interview stuff. You know, they'd filter in. So Sting has the Deathlock in and is not releasing. So did Flair give up?
Yeah, Flair gave up. Sting is the winner.
Ref signaled for it. Yep.
Okay. And now they're going to overturn the decision here.
Looks like it. Sting really mad.
Wow, Sting's down to a knee. Never see that with a.
I was going to say, doesn't Flair have his own stable of guys that should be coming out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here's the cruiserweight division.
Yeah. I like the idea that JL just hangs in the back with his mask on.
I like that Eddie has a boot and a flip flop on. Dude, I'm getting undressed. No, you gotta run out there.
Yeah, that is
awesome. Dude, that is awesome. That is awesome. I like that.
And Evad is here trying to talk sense into.
Does he have the bunny with him?
All the voices of reason here.
What's the bunny's name? Does anyone remember?
I didn't think the bunny had a name.
Yes, it definitely had
a name. No, he didn't have a name. I want to say Ralph.
Duggan's here to lay down the law.
Wow, they really are bringing out the Rhodes Scholars to have Sting get this move off him.
I think you're right. I think
Duggan's here. Sting is off. Peace is restored. Hacksaw Jim Duggan saves us again.
Bischoff, really weird, before anybody came out, says, I see Luger coming out. I see Luger coming out, making his way down. I don't see Luger.
Bischoff was just really weird with some of the shit.
Yeah, that was before
any of
the faces came
to
the ring.
Though, so.
Well, I don't know if Bischoff. No, Bischoff's just like that all the time.
What he did was he totally.
Here he comes.
He's coming out now. He totally blew the call.
Yeah, there's Luger.
I think they can't see. That's the fucking problem where they are. So he probably just was. Someone told him Luger was coming.
Luger's out, and what is he wearing?
He's got American Male's pants on.
Yeah. Going nose to nose.
Some intense stuff. Sting listens to Luger, breaks the hold.
Well, wait, Luger's a heel.
50 Shades of Grey, Will.
Man, this is killing me.
No, this actually becomes entertaining, though, as we move forward the Luger stuff, where he turned on Hogan because he hated Hogan and Savage, but he's still friends with Sting, so he's a heel, but his relationship with Sting, you know, they always play up how they're friends.
So the work becomes a shoot, which becomes a work. I got it.
And they were ringing the bell the entire time, by the way, even as Sting was getting out of the ring.
Gotta make sure we all heard it. What's Luger laughing at?
Look at that ugly sow.
Pretty good main event.
What's going to be this big announcement?
That's right.
Finishing up what we were saying about Raw earlier, Davey Boy pinned Marty Jannetty with the running power slam. Clarence Mason came to ringside and announced that Davey would face the winner of Brett Diesel's Survivor Series match at the December In Your House.
Hmm.
So, and Henry Godwin pinned Terry Richards with the slop drop. After the bout, Hunter Hearst Helmsley attacked Godwin from behind, dropped him with the pedigree, then put on white gloves, and then slopped him.
Hmm.
Kama beat Tony Roy.
Mm-hmm.
Your boy, JR, Tony Roy.
Nope, that's different than Raven Roy.
Oh, still, Tony Roy's your boy, too. Jerry Lawler and Isaac Yankem defeated Bret Hart and Hakushi via DQ when Barry Horowitz entered the ring, grabbing a steel chair away from Lawler.
Wow.
That's the most random bunch of guys.
Yeah, Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit versus that. So what's going on, Willie? What's this announcement?
Jimmy Hart is running down Hulk Hogan saying while he was out in Hollywood making all those direct-to-video movies that he's been the power of attorney all along. And he's been doing business, and he's about to make his big announcement, but he's still bloviating.
I think I spoiled it earlier.
What did you say?
I think he's going to reveal that the title changed hands by DQ at Halloween Havoc.
Yeah.
Yep.
Remember right.
It was in the contract.
Yeah.
Yep. There was a bit of a stipulation in the contract.
Way to go, Jordan. We get
it.
You know
Hogan gets disqualified, Ultimate Warrior body slams Andre the Giant.
And Disco Inferno wins a title.
So as of now, it looks like we have a new world champion officially.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, that was exciting.
So the run they did all the way back to Bash at the Beach 94 the previous year is over.
All right, why don't we start giving our awards while these guys wrap this nonsense up? Match of the night, I guess Benoit Eddie. Does anyone dissent?
I might go Flair Sting, man. Yeah? I mean, it's hard. I'm one of those guys who just doesn't dig watching Benoit matches. But I can recognize a good one, but, you know, Flair Sting actually just more my style. I don't know.
Anyone else?
Wait a minute. Some weird dude just walked in.
Yeah, the attorney's out to verify the contract. If this was the big plan, why didn't they reveal it the night after the pay-per-view and sold 8 days later?
Well, they couldn't give it away because we didn't see the footage. They weren't allowed to.
The footage was on the way.
The process moves slow, man.
Yeah, Jimmy Hart did have Hulk Hogan's power of attorney. But the lawyer says he's not the world champion.
Do they have an authority figure at this point?
Nick Bockwinkel.
He's still around?
Yep. Yep. I don't think it goes to Dylan until, middle of 96?
No, it was Dylan. He leaves right around Survivor Series.
Oh, so early 97. Right. That's right, early 97.
I mean, Bischoff's the de facto one in 96 for a bit.
Because of the dubious nature of the disqualification, they've determined that it's not valid.
Okay.
It's vacant. It's in abeyance.
There you go. Sullivan's got the same reaction as everyone listening to this. Like, I don't know what the hell's going on.
Giant's facial expressions are pretty ridiculous.
Yes, they're awesome.
Is that a banana on the back of Sullivan's robe?
It's a like dripping it's blood too. Red banana.
Thanks, Claude.
Maine got to it.
Yes, it's a robe of fishers.
It just threw me off, man. A bunch of lightning bulbs and a red banana.
It's kind of like a chicken.
Huh. A bloody moon?
Yeah. Boomerang? I don't know.
The Conk Republic. It's a long-ass segment. So anyone else go with Sting Flair over Ben Whitey?
I'll stay Ben Whitey, but only by a hair. Mm.
All right.
Yeah.
Most midnight... Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say, that's just, like I said, that's just my personal Benoit thing. If that same match is move for move, like, you know, Eddie and Malenko or something, I probably would have picked the other match. Just, you know, Benoit gives me the creeps.
Yeah, sorry. It's understandable.
Yep.
Most mid-90s person, I'm going with, who do we have? We had an easy one before, didn't we? Who was it?
The people at Muscle Beach, the Dave Meltzer lookalike.
Well, no, Meltzer. I was gonna give Meltzer the most random appearance, the Meltzer guy.
Yeah.
So the Giant just said like
Midnight Rider.
60 seconds ago, he was not
Midnight Rider. WCW.
Hold on, right there in the front row, blonde fat lady with the denim vest and a mullet. That's
her
and
her buddies.
Most midnight.
Her little cowboy girlfriend. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. What were you gonna say, Steve?
The Giant literally had said 60 seconds ago, there's no way you're going to take this belt off me. You're going to have to physically take it off of me.
And then he hands it to
60 him. Seconds later, they hand it over to the lawyer.
You want to give that the most WCW moment, or do we have another one?
There are so many of them. The exploitation of the homeless man, the
director. Rider guy in the front row.
I like Duggan stomping around, causing the tape to go crazy, too.
That was cool, though. That was
and then there's earlier in that scene there, you see the director with the binder sticking out the paper to give them the cues that they're on.
How about the lights going out?
Yeah, the lights going out. Let's just give it to the backstage voting segments. We'll give it to that. The whole thing is right, WCW.
Whatever, Pepe.
At this point, too, I think we need to recognize that a WCW moment is ending every Nitro with a 10-minute interview segment.
Right, yeah.
Instead of a match.
And then going to the booth to explain the interview segment you just saw.
Hey, JR, I officially demand, because, you know, I have the right to make demands. I demand that you introduce me as Pepe's number one fan,
okay.
Will.
Will do.
Right.
I'm going to put it in the write-up right here.
Look at that match next week. Mang and Savage.
Ooh.
Oh, there's a couple good matches on the next episode.
Eddie versus Bad.
Yep.
Malenko versus Sting.
Huh. Yeah, that's a hot matchup.
That might be the best potential lineup yet.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, grade. Willie.
Shoot, 7.5. Yeah, I'll go 8.
Ooh, Duncan.
I don't think I'll go that high. I'll go 6.5.
You'll go 8.
What?
Glenn.
6.5.
Glenn.
I'll go 7.5.
Will.
At least an 8, man. Those last two matches, I mean, took up most of the show. That was awesome. 8.
Scott.
7.5.
7.5 for me, too. So I think that averages out to about 7.5.
31, 37.5.
All right. All right, that's it, boys. Another two episodes in the books. We'll be back probably another 5 weeks or so. Do this again. We'll let you all know when. So that's it for this week. Visit PlaySpiration.com often. Check out everything we talked about earlier and more. Scott, we're back Monday night. Mark Claire in the house for WrestleMania 20.
Yes, sir.
And then we're back here next Friday. Finally going to rank some all-time pay-per-view cards, right? Or build some all-time pay-per-view cards.
That's right.
I fucked it up, right? September, October, right? We're at
It's September, October this time. Yeah.
Okay. There you go. All right. For Pepe's number one fan, Will, for Steve Willie, for Jordan Duncan, Glenn Butler, Scott, and myself, we are out. We'll talk to you next week. Everyone take care.
Bye.
That's it.
That was fun.
Don't hurt me no more.